More than 170 non-governmental organizations are currently operating in Iraq, providing aid and assistance to the people there. NGOs in Iraq are facing daily challenges, including the difficulties of working in a country with no functioning government and a growing security problem. From Baghdad, NPR's Kate Seeley reports.
In a small town some 60 miles northeast of Baghdad, members of the Danish Refugee Council register the names and status of hundreds of internally displaced people, or IDPs. Employee Khaled Sabri says they are Iraqi Arabs kicked out of their homes by Kurds. These people need a lot, he says. They're living in military camps and in fields. Sabri says the Arabs were settled in northern Iraq by Saddam Hussein in the 70s and 80s as part of an effort to Arabize the mainly Kurdish region. When displaced Kurds returned to their homes following Saddam's overthrow, they in turn displaced tens of thousands of Arabs. Project director Peter Sorensen says the Danish Refugee Council is now responsible for registering the some 50,000 IDPs in Diyala province in an effort to provide assistance to the most needy.
You have to start with the most vulnerable. So, and that's actually one of the very, very difficult part of it, how to identify the most needed people from the beginning.
Sorensen says most of these families took little with them when they fled their homes. To meet their needs, the council, consisting of two Danes and some 30 locals, has distributed basic household items like mattresses and cooking utensils to 8,000 people. The council, Sorensen adds, also trucks in water on a daily basis to dozens of families living in abandoned spaces with no access to water. At one of those sites, a partially destroyed army barracks, Sorensen listens to the worries voiced by several families. A father of five wants to know when he'll get safe and permanent housing.
As I told you before, that we cannot do anything about your home until we have a government in place and we have a law.
Sorensen says frustration is growing among the refugees. Some 3 months after being forced from their homes, families are demanding a solution to their problems. He says the council does what it can with limited funds, but admits the job is overwhelming at times.
I think you have it like a firefighter. You are taking a uniform on, you try to do your best.
Western diplomats here say NGOs in Iraq have done an excellent job filling the gaps in the absence of a government. Margaret Hassan heads the Baghdad office of CARE International, one of the few NGOs allowed to operate during the former regime.
The most difficult thing has been trying to answer everyone's needs all at the same time. Because, of course, we were known, lots of people just came to our offices and said, help.
Hassan says hospitals came to CARE offices looking for basics like beds, looted after the war. And much of CARE's work, she says, has simply focused on repairing buildings, like clinics and hospitals damaged by looters. But Hassan says CARE must also begin working on long-term development projects. Kirsten Zapp, the UN's NGO liaison officer, agrees. She says 4 months after the war, aid organizations in Iraq need to change priorities.
The main challenge is being able to make the shift from humanitarian assistance into rehabilitation and reconstruction. Really, there needs to be a national plan before NGOs can make that shift.
Zaat says it's the duty of the occupying authorities to formulate a development plan, and she worries that the lack of a national plan will slow down critical NGO work in the future. Even more worrying, says Zaat, is the worsening security situation. She says three aid workers have been shot dead and three wounded in the past few months. She adds that it's incumbent upon the Coalition Provisional Authority, or CPA, to do a better job stabilizing Iraq.
An aid worker who is dead cannot deliver aid. It's very, very important that the CPA actually secures Iraq so that aid can be delivered effectively.
Peter Sorensen of the Danish Refugee Council says his NGO has been taking precautions. Both his office and residence in the town of Bakuba are protected by armed guards. Bakuba, the capital of Diyala province, has been the site of frequent attacks against American forces. And Sorensen says a key task has been to distinguish his organization from the American military, headquartered just a few blocks away.
We have had serious threats, yes. People coming to the office and saying that they would kill us. And so that has been very important for us to get the message out that we are a Danish organization and what is the main aim of the organization so that people know what we are doing.
His best move, he says, was weaning over the local Muslim clerics. Since then, he notes, the threats have stopped. But he acknowledges that he and his colleagues are taking a risk living and working in one of the most dangerous regions of Iraq. Nevertheless, he says it's worthwhile given the pressing humanitarian needs here. It's a view shared by many of his NGO colleagues. Kate Seeley, NPR News, Baghdad.